Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Half price vitamin and cosmetic sale on now. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you along. Make sure you subscribe and welcome back from the weekend. And happy Mother's Day to you, Robin.
Thank you. Glorious for us. We discussed it often. Not so much for Gordon Tullis. Man, he stuffed up Mother's Day and it was his mother's birthday. And he reckons Wednesday is the day he can make that up.
Taking his mum for granted. Should never do that.
No, you should never do that. Talk Lego Masters. I just like saying it because it makes him go off.
Yeah. Good show, actually. I watched it last night.
Yeah, it's a great show.
You are joking, aren't you?
I am not.
They are.
He gets sore thumbs. Okay.
Yes, indeed. The DeLorean was on there from Back to the Future.
I saw that bit.
That's pretty cool.
You saw that bit.
Interesting. Kath watches Lego Masters and it's home as married at first sight. She goes, this is quite good. And I stopped and watched and they drove it. No, it's so overhyped. The whole thing is so edited, as in all TV. Mate, I just watched, I reckon, 4 or 5 games of Super Rugby and 6 games of footy, rugby league. Geez.
So you need some variety.
No, that's real. That is real. What happened there really happened and people were trying hard. Lego Masters, oh, good Lord.
You are ridiculous.
Come on.
We talked to NAPLAN. Because I've just received a message from the school to say that my son needs 2 B and HB pencils, a pencil sharpener, an eraser, a blue or black ballpoint pen, a non-programmable calculator, and a water bottle. Yeah, he's ready for NAPLAN.
And nothing about not coming. So he must have some brains because these schools these days, they tell all the dumb kids to stay at home.
Are you happy with young Piper doing NAPLAN?
Yeah, look, I'm fine with it.
He's a bright kid.
Yeah, he's the smartest of the smarts.
Oh, their last name's Smart. Funny. Who started that saying? He did. I'm the smartest of the smarts. Yeah.
Okay. But no, I'll say it and then he goes, Mum, it's not hard.
No.
Oh, two older brothers being sledged.
Getting a whack.
Oh, that's excellent.
The King Wally Lewis joined us this morning as well. Mm. Gus Gould has been promoting something that Wally did not do.
Well, let's just see how that pans out. It's Wally being a Queenslander.
His reaction was great too.
It was, what? Yeah. Pardon? Enjoy the podcast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Okay, Marta, you know how we're trying to do our campaign. Well, of course you do. You started it. But basically, it's trying to get Cam Smith back for the first State of Origin so that he can save us and we can at least win one this series.
It was pie in the sky there for a while, and then we got the support of former players, and then we got the support of some former New South Wales players, and then we got the support of Wayne Bennett going, ooh, what an idea, like when I brought Alfie back. And then yesterday, the chairman of the QRL, he goes, hell yeah, we have to. He's the standout contender for the hooker spot. He's the only one we want. So,
and a lot of people, when you go into Smoko Shout, are saying they're on board. We're getting people to go to our Facebook page and sign the petition, which we're going to deliver to Cam Smith. So I was sitting there thinking, who else can we get on board? I have gone to politics and I have got the opposition leader because she is a friend and fan of the show and she'll talk to us anytime about anything. I'm talking about Deb Frecklington. Hello, Deb.
How you going, guys? We definitely need to bring Cam back. Definitely get him back.
Can you legislate about that? Is there anything the opposition can do to bring Cam back?
What happens if you bring it up in Parliament, going, question time, Premier, why can't you force Cam Smith to play for Queensland?
I don't think the Premier has the control over Cam Smith that she may like, but more than happy, if you get me the signatures, we could table a petition in Parliament.
Right,
you're going to deliver it to Cam Smith.
Is that really a thing?
I've actually got a petition going to save the taxi subsidy scheme that Palaszczuk is trying to get rid of.
Oh, this is more important, Deb.
This is the thing. I'm fighting for people with disabilities in the taxi scheme. Happy to fight to bring Cam Smith back as well.
This is for Queenslanders. Yeah. You know what it does for the morale of a state? When we win State of Origin, the economy goes up, popularity of the politician who caused it to help it to happen goes up.
Well, happy to give it a shot.
How many signatures do we need, Deb, to make it legit to put it into Parliament?
Look, you can put a petition into Parliament with just a couple of signatures, but this petition would get thousands of signatures. But I think, look, there's so many people that want to have Cam Smith back for Origin, so let's hope it happens.
Now, Freckle, thank you. If we can get you the petition, you take it into Parliament. That's great. Now, Robin's given me another thing. She said, now, the Freckle's real. You know that, Marta? And I said, I know, I've met the Freckle. But she said, no, she's real. She's actually had jobs.
I have had jobs. I've had lots of jobs, like most people.
Deb, what have you done? You've done other things other than be a politician and a lawyer, because you were a lawyer as well.
Oh.
Yeah, look, lots of things. Straight out of school, I actually was a men's suit fitter at Fletcher Jones. I did that. I did lots of jobs. Worked in an office. I worked in a newspaper. I actually waitressed whilst I was going through uni. Had a small business. Was a lawyer. Lots of different jobs, actually. Had my three kids. I think it is good to have lots of work experience before you go in and go into Parliament and try to represent people, because most people have had lots of jobs.
Deb Frecklington, you will take our petition to Parliament. Is that a promise?
I can take it to Parliament. I can't say it'll be a conforming petition, and I can't say that you'll get an answer from the government on it, but more than happy to table your petition.
Interesting, and we'll take it. Deb Frecklington, Opposition Leader, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Dire situations call for dire things to happen, and
That's basically right.
We don't have, a kicker, we don't have a captain, we don't have a playmaker.
That's right.
And Cam is
and we don't
all
have
of
a hooker. And the more it goes, Jake Granville got hurt on the weekend, the Cowboys hooker. Ben Hunt has proven again he can't catch the ball, so can't be allowed onto the field anymore. And Cameron Smith, we've tried all different angles. And I'll tell you what, we were going to get it ordained by King Wally Lewis this week, and then all of a sudden yesterday I hear Gus Gould spruiking this.
Wally Lewis today has demanded Cameron Smith play. You'll see it on 100% footy tomorrow night. But he stares down the barrel of the camera, points the finger and says Cameron Smith will be playing.
Demanded, no less. Well, only the king can do it, he joins us. Hello, Wally.
Hello.
What's Gus talking about? What's Gus talking about?
I don't know. Oh. I don't remember even mentioning that to him. If he did it, it'd be for all three.
Well, this is brilliant, mate, the way you're playing this. Don't let him know what we're planning on doing, because Fittler will pick up on this. He won't have any idea. So you're just telling everyone, see, what would have happened here, Robin, with Wally and all the fogs would have said, no one talk about Cam Smith to any of the media. If that Marto idiot rings, tell him nothing's going on. Is that right, Wal?
Mate, give him nothing, take him nowhere.
Yeah, he's crafty. He's crafty, Wally
well
Lewis.
Played, Wally. Typical Wally.
We love you, Wal.
We'll catch
you
tonight on Channel 9 News.
See
thanks, Wal. Big breakfast.
See?
On Brisbane's Triple
again.
M. He's bloody crafty.
An end of an era in my family this week, as my youngest son will do his last NAPLAN testing.
Is that on when?
It's coming up tomorrow, the numeracy and literacy testing. Oh, so he's in grade 9, and over the last decade, I've had three of my sons go through NAPLAN from years 3, 5, 7, and 9.
Yep.
It's a weird feeling to think this will be it.
My kids finished school. You've got two that are past NAPLAN. Nick hasn't started.
No.
Just for Nick, explain what NAPLAN is.
Yeah, do you know what NAPLAN is?
Yeah, it's sort of a test that every kid at the same year level gets.
Yeah, that's
it's all
right.
Across Australia.
Let's go through for everyone. Grade 3, grade 5, grade 7, grade 9. And it was brought in by that Julia Gillard to compare schools, right?
Because she was an education minister before she became prime minister. She was really full on about the education system. And the idea is that you can then look at how your children are going. There have been some teething problems along the way.
Teething problems? The whole thing is a joke.
Why is it a joke?
Because I hear all these stories from parents about schools that tell the dumb kids not to come, so their school gets elevated up the list. And what parent? She wanted it so we could rank our schools. That's not how this. It's not a competition between schools. It's about every single child has a different experience.
Okay, but doesn't it also then allow you to see where kids are doing well, what areas kids are doing badly? For example,
but just on that test on that day, I'm not a big fan of it either. I remember when I was in primary school down in Victoria, there was a test in grade 3 and in grade 5. Apparently, I got so stressed about it in grade 3, my mum said, yeah, just don't worry about it, mate. It does not matter.
I reckon grade 9 should be the first time you have any testing.
Well,
that's when they can finally start coping with
stuff.
But
you've got to do it in primary school, and how else do we find out across the board? Can I just say that Queensland has been the star performer over the last decade? We have gone from really bad to not so bad.
Oh, we're not stupid anymore.
Well, they're saying that of all the schools in all, because that's the point. You look at every single school across this country, and Australia has fallen so much in the last 20 or 30 years. We used to be right up there around the world and considered...
Right up where? What does it mean?
Well, it just means that we're a smarter country than some of the others.
You don't find out smart at the age of 8. You find out smart at the age of 50 because you show your wisdom and your companies are going well and everything else. It doesn't matter whether 9-year olds are smart.
Through doing NAPLAN. By doing a big exam like NAPLAN.
I reckon NAPLAN is worse than I reckon it's made kids worse. It's actually put stress on kids. And what it is, I hear all these targeted teaching, they're targeting towards NAPLAN. I'll accept that that happens in grade 11 and 12 and that's what they have to do for university entrance and all that. I cannot cop it as little kids who are 8 years of age, 10 years of age, having to do these really wild, stressful exams.
Isn't that part of life that you have to do exams in school anyway?
Not at that age. Not at all.
I cannot think of another way to do it, and I think it's important we know the information.
But why do we need this? Well, let's open it up. I never
open Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Open it up.
I'll be back to can, Marto.
What are you going to say?
Mine's just from being a parent. I looked and went, what a complete waste of time. NAPLAN is a absolute waste of time for the kids and for Australia.
I got an academic scholarship to a private school. I went to the second worst primary school in the state.
Yeah.
And my parents, when I went for this scholarship test, they knew it was going to be a big thing. They just told me, hey, mate, Saturday morning, we need you to fill out a few questions, do this thing, and then we'll go out for lunch. And they dropped me off at this place. And I just did a test, like, well, all right, I'll see what I can do. And they just framed it in a way that made it so much easier. Go.
Otherwise, you would have stressed out and probably flunked.
That's a great definitely. Idea.
And stayed with the really, really bad high school.
Anyway, Marto says, we don't need NAPLAN. Well, Reese,
I'll be proven wrong.
What do you reckon? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think there's good and bad of it. I mean, I'm 41 this year, so my schooling goes, you know, back a few years now, but I changed schools between grades 2 and 3, and grade 3, I was struggling. So they sat down and worked out that I was at least 12 months behind in my reading skills.
Oh, yeah.
6 months worth of remedial classes later, by the end of grade 5, I was already reading at a grade 7 level, so...
They picked you up. You got caught in the net.
Yeah.
This was long before NAPLAN.
Because as I say, I'm not going to say I'm a major educationalist, but if you haven't learnt, you've got to be able to be able to read by grade 3, because after that, it's assumed that you can read. It's now about learning. So they did the right thing by you without NAPLAN.
Exactly.
Okay.
So do you think we need NAPLAN? What was he saying? Do we need NAPLAN now, in your opinion?
If the teaching structure is already correct, then probably not, no.
But if it isn't, then we do. That would be a fence sitter there, Reese. John of Sanford, what do you reckon? Marto says we don't need NAPLAN. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm afraid I'm with Marto on this one. Unless they change it, because basically what they do now is that they teach to NAPLAN. Yeah. The last couple of weeks, kids have been not going off the general curriculum that they're supposed to do for the rest of the year. Oh, no, we put that aside and teach NAPLAN for a couple of weeks. If it was a pure snapshot of what's happening in the schools, in the classes, on the curriculum, I'd be fine with it. Yeah. But with what they do with NAPLAN, no.
I don't understand why NAPLAN isn't just a snapshot of what they're doing, and if they're doing
it's not. The teachers, I know teachers, and teachers have different teaching. They're not teaching out of the curriculum for the last 2 weeks.
Do you hear these stories that schools actually being directed to teach towards NAPLAN so they get a higher rating?
Absolutely. Yeah. That is absolutely what is happening. And the schools that want to get better scores to get more kids to look better, they will do more of it.
Yeah, why didn't they see that when they brought this in, that it was going to be a competitive thing? That's what humans are like.
But surely if teachers are then pushing for NAPLAN, then that's a good thing. They're following through. They're teaching our kids more stuff.
But not the NAPLAN stuff. Is there anything applicable?
Karen of Albany Creek, what do you reckon? And Marto says it's a waste of time, the old NAPLAN. Do you agree?
I agree. I'm a teacher.
Oh, wow. Now this is good. Okay, tell us why, Karen.
Well, when it was first thought of, it was supposed to be finding out where there was weakness within the school community and the students and where we can put funding to put support for these students.
Righto.
What it has turned into is not that, obviously. It's competitive. It's about rating of students, rating of schools. My school's better than your school.
Yep.
My children, who are should be sitting at tomorrow, will not be.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Your personal children or your class?
my children, my personal children.
Can't get the class out.
So my kids won't be doing it.
How old are they, Karen?
They're in year 9 and year 7.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
And when they were in year 3 and year 5, I did the same thing. Year 3, my eldest, I didn't really wait to see. So she's going to be doing private study, getting on top of her assignments, not wasting her time on something that has no consequence.
Are you sure your kids aren't those ones that the school said, they're not very clever, don't come tomorrow? They're not one of those kids?
No.
But there are. Have you ever heard that story, Karen? There are kids that are asked not to come to school on NAPLAN Day, aren't there?
Yeah, there are.
Wow. Doesn't that say
I can't argue a snapshot with the teacher, of anything, Karen. Thank you.
Most people, they're agreeing with Marto. 80% saying NAPLAN is useless.
There we go.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's big breakfast.
I am still hurting from my lunch yesterday. I made a terrible mistake. I did something I had not done in some years, and that was my friends and I went to a buffet.
Hold on, you're in Sydney on your own on the weekend.
Yeah, well, there were comedians around. It was a Sydney Comedy Festival there, so a few of us have met up, and we decided to go for some lunch. One of them recommended this Korean barbecue place. They said, there's an awesome buffet. Let's go to that.
Down near Chinatown in Sydney, Street?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Goulburn Street.
Goulburn. And we were there, and I thought, you know what? I haven't done a buffet in a few years. I used to be terrible at them. I'm one of those people, I just go, what? These are all my favourite things. Let's have some roast beef and ice cream, and I'll get, you know what I mean? I'm just getting too many things at the same time. Now, I thought, I will make the right move here. I'm going to try and eat healthy. Ended up just having, I reckon, 7 mains.
What? Okay, explain to me what a Korean buffet looks like. Is it normally, it's like a normal buffet, just lots of dishes, but they're Korean dishes.
Yeah, so you have Korean an entree. Like lots of meat. Lots of... Yep.
Plate size? Bowls or plates?
Plates, but with bowls because you could make your own soup. That was the other thing. Because it was lunchtime, they weren't letting you cook your own food, Korean barbecue style, which I must say, not a fan of. I'm paying you. Cook me the food.
Okay.
I don't like cooking my own food. I don't like Korean barbecue. But you got to make your own soup. That was also a big problem. I had about 3 soups.
Because you went, this looks nice, and off you went.
So now, the Koreans, do they do bread? Because that's often a downfall at a buffet. Or prawn crackers, those prawns, they're pretty tasty.
Or cheesy toast if you're at Sizzler.
Oh, cheesy toast. Do the Koreans into any of that gear?
No, just heaps of rice.
Oh, cool.
I swear, I'm 15 kilos heavier than I was when I went into the joint. Dessert. I didn't even get time for dessert. I'd had too much food. I didn't even look at the dessert. I saw a lot of watermelon for some reason. I didn't know that was a massive thing. So much watermelon. There was a chef. He looked like a sushi chef, right? He was dressed the exact same way as a sushi chef. Yeah. God, that's a rough one to say.
Yeah.
That's not a Monday morning phrase. Sushi chef. But he was just smashing watermelon up. They must go mad for the watermelon.
Is that how you save money on the kids? Like you just get kids to fill up on watermelon and then you do charge them for a full
overly
buffet.
Overly filling.
Watermelon. Though after a while, watermelon.
And it stains your clothes. Watermelon is the worst clothes stainer of all the fruits.
You're kidding.
No. If you get watermelon onto something white, it goes like a bluey grey colour and you'll never get it out.
You know what's worse for your clothes?
What?
Vomit, because that's what was almost happening yesterday.
Hey, is there an age where you just go, nah, that bloke's so old he can do whatever he feels like?
Why? What's
I reckon
happened?
85.
I like 85. You get to 85, the whole world, you can just go through giving the whole world
do whatever you want.
That doesn't happen like that normally,
though. Well, it should. You've earned the right to be as cranky and disobey everything about the law. Are you ready for this one? Okay. Where do I start? Alarming dash cam footage has captured the moment an elderly man rode his mobility scooter along Melbourne's Monash Freeway at 16 kilometres an hour.
Oh, bless.
This was my wife. My father-in-law used to do this at Sanford. He was in a mobility scooter.
Was he
on the freeway?
Yeah, down the main road of Sanford, holding cars up and just turning in front because they just think he'd have a flag, like he had an orange flag at the back so you could see him from a distance. They just... think they can do whatever they like. Cars, buses and trucks flew past as the 92-year-old, so he's 92, he's earned it, travelled down the 100-kilometre-an-hour stretch of the freeway. A good Samaritan, Bruce, captured the footage on his dash cam, called 000, and then followed behind this old bloke with his hazards on so he wouldn't get in trouble with the traffic.
Robin, don't feel bad for this old bloke.
I do. So he wasn't...
It's not over yet. So Bruce, who was the good Samaritan, now this has all been recorded on his dash cam. Bruce encouraged the man to pull over but was rebuffed with a sharp F off. Anyway, police confirmed the man had been reported missing by his relatives a short time earlier before he was intercepted.
Come on, I feel
so
bad.
He was reunited with his family, but they've obviously had a blue. Like, they've probably gone, listen, old champion. Oh, what are we
talking? What's his name?
There's no name. Mr. F off, 92-year-old.
Legend. Old legend.
He has obviously had a fight and just gone, well, I'm out of here, and just started driving his mobility scooter. I think there should be a mobility scooter lane, perhaps, on the freeway.
Well, this bloke, clearly, he just went down the side the whole time. He was using his hands to say when he's turning or changing lanes, which is great. But when Bruce called 000 to explain what had happened. This old bloke's on a mobility scooter, and they said, what colour is it? And he goes, brown and black, and who cares? There's only one. You won't miss it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. One thing I love to do is to poke Marto when he's wrong, and you were wrong about Lego Masters.
In what way?
Yeah. Because you said it was really crap and it wouldn't do any good.
Oh, no. Don't you make things up. I said it was really crap. I didn't say it wouldn't go any good. I said it was really crap even after it was going well. Why? And I don't care. It is. I watched it last night. It is unwatchable. But don't say things that I didn't say. It is rubbish for normal human beings.
Okay, but
it brings people together.
Yes,
I was on the phone to a mate of mine. He's a builder last night. His whole family were off their screens and watching it together.
Lego
as a family. Good
well,
on it.
The great news is from Nine, with their 2.134 million people watching, on average, they are bringing it back for 2020. Yes, Hamish Blake and Ryan Brickman McNaught, the only certified Lego professional in the Southern Hemisphere.
It was on in our house last night. I heard them say the Brickman. What is a Brickman?
He is a Lego certified professional. He makes money out of building Lego. You'll love the press release that's come out about this relaunch for the second series. They're calling it, at its core, Lego Masters is a celebration of creativity, showcasing the powers of imagination. Mm. We can't wait to see what our teams create for viewers in 2020.
God, listen how boring that is.
Okay. But there is a forgotten victim in all of this.
Marto.
Yeah. Well, no. Definitely not forgotten. No, apparently for all of the Lego Masters, their thumbs become so sore through creating the creation.
Proper bricky or block layer. They don't have any fingerprints, Robin. That's real things. These idiots.
They have to put their thumbs in hot water overnight.
What? In an ice bath or hot water?
No, hot water.
Told you this? This is extraordinary.
One of them has gone out online saying that it's been so difficult for all of the Lego Masters because.
Oh, you poor bastard.
And it must have hurt them to type that on their phone. Ouch, my thumbs. Ouch.
It's the Big Breakfast for Triple M.
Lego Masters.
One of my favourite days of the year yesterday, I had a gig at night, but during the day, there was not only one cage fighting event on, there was two. Yes.
Okay,
the
just
UFC.
Explain to me cage UFC? Fighting.
Like cage fighting's mixed martial arts.
So do they get in a cage?
Yeah, it's in a cage. Yeah, and the UFC is the Octagon. The other main sort of, league you could say, is Bellator. So yesterday there was
a
UFC card
on. Bellator?
Bellator's like a second-ranked one. Some sort of aging UFC fighters may go across there to make some big money later on. But there's also people at the other end. So recently they hired a guy who used to be like a WWE wrestler. right? His name is Jake Hager. Now, this guy has got one professional win in cage fighting, but they're trying to make him a bigger name because he's got all these fans based off what he used to do.
Okay, hold on. So, can I just check something? So he's WWE, a wrestler. That's all
fake stuff.
Scripted it's, moves
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, scripted stuff. They're still athletes.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Right? So he's getting into mixed martial arts, so they're giving him cans. You know the term can, Robin? They're just letting him fight some easy fighters to sort of get his practice up, right?
And so when they fight, like they can punch, they can kick.
Punch, kick,
can they bite?
Wrestle.
No biting.
No, you can't bite. No okay. biting. No okay, wide well, pokes.
No.
No elbows. It's like all
can you shoot?
No headbutts or elbows.
Can you stab? Can you
no, but like it's all bets off, but it has to be clean within
you know,
the
there
martial
are rules.
Arts.
When there are a lot of rules.
When someone kicks you in
yeah.
the leg, they can break your leg with their
yeah.
foot. Yeah, that's why they're kicking to soften you up before they do crying.
And you're worried about biting.
But yeah, that's true. And no hopawati, that's yeah, not allowed. No,
okay, well, I don't like the sound of Robin's mixed mother arts, which is just mum's going off.
He's doing some sewing and cooking.
This guy's opponent on the weekend, his name was TJ Jones, and TJ Jones was very excited. He's had a record of 1-1, but he's not a professional MMA fighter. He's got another job.
Is MMA a full-time job for you?
I work at a plant.
What kind of plant?
A beef plant.
What do you mean?
It a beef plant?
Is that an abattoir?
Well, that's
slicing and dicing.
He does. He works at a beef plant, right? So he's working
he's
beef plant during the day, trying to train when he can. But hear this: it's not just him he's looking out for.
What is it like balancing working at the beef plant with fighting?
I'm up every morning at 4 a.m. I go to bed every night around 11, 12 o'clock. You know, you got to train, you got to do it. I got 6 kids at home, and you know they come first before everything.
What? He's a 29-year-old with 6 kids that is a part-time MMA fighter, full-time meat plant
operator.
What a life.
And he fought yesterday against someone that used to be a superstar in the WWE.
Oh.
And what happened?
Oh, I love an underdog story. He got absolutely smashed. Back to the beef plant.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I got a good call over the weekend from my accountant who told me that I no longer have a hex debt.
Oh, wow. How long have you been paying that off?
In little bits and pieces since I was 19, so that's 13 years.
Okay, I never went to uni and none of my children are at that point where they are paying it off.
We're of the age we didn't have to pay for university.
No, we didn't. We had free university.
I was done with a degree exactly. It was the golden era before mid-80s when they started making you pay.
So, oh, well, if you're thinking... If you're thinking I got a degree, I never said that, Marto. I said I had a hex debt.
What did you do? Did you drop out?
I did a Bachelor of Business, Sports Management for 8 weeks and I quit. True story, I got drunk when I was in high school and watched Jerry Maguire.
Oh
and I thought,
God,
that looks pretty
show
sick.
Show me the money.
Wow. Yeah, they didn't. They showed me the hex debt. That's all I got.
Hold on. How many weeks?
I did 8 weeks.
And
now, the
and
8 weeks
you
is
for
just...
that.
Well, what happened was that it was just more than enough for it to include one semester, right? So I had to pay for one semester, which at the time was like $4,500 or whatever. Then in the middle of the year, I've left uni. I've gone to work at a summer camp in the US. While I was gone, my mum went through every bit of mail that got sent to me, except the one that said, do not open private and confidential. And that was from the university saying, if you just sign this piece of paper and send it back, we're not going to charge you for the second semester.
Oh, so therefore you haven't cancelled your second semester and they've charged you on the hex for something you never went to.
Yeah, so it was ended up being $9,000.
Double. Mum.
I remember that every Mother's Day.
Thanks, Mum. So you're saying that $9,000 debt, which you never actually got anything out of, you've just paid off.
Just paid it off
what
because
a
for
nightmare.
For years there, you know, you're not earning enough money to start paying the thing off. Then you pay it off in small amounts. It's finally done. I've paid off the hex debt for a degree that I never got.
Wow.
And I just want to know, what are people still paying off?
I bought a place just before the GFC hit. We were going to do a reno. I was going to retire. This is, anyway.
No. Come on. What happened?
Well, the GFC was, 2008?
2008, 2009. So we bought it at an auction. I remember I was over in Perth and we'd said, righto, I'm going to bring the team. I thought we were going to lose our jobs here, okay? So I thought, I'm going to bring the team
Every
back
year.
Together. All the all my mates together, you know, plumbers, bring the whole thing back and get the building company up and going full time again. I thought, righto, this looks likely. This is the project. Bought it for 1.1. We spent 1.1, so I had to borrow. All of this is all borrowed, okay?
Yeah, 2. And it was going to be your retirement package. This was what you were going to do, sell, live
all
off.
Right. So still after the GFC, I went, no, it'll be okay. So I was expecting maybe to make $300,000 out of it. You know, that's what we'd projected, okay? So we spent more than $1 million on the reno.
And what happened? GFC
sold it.
Hit.
I lost $500,000 on the house.
Why didn't you live in it?
Yeah. Well, we didn't like the neighbour. Oh, Kath didn't like the neighbour next to the really nasty.
Because we were $500,000.
We were there for 14 months. So the people hated us. And I hated him, so I had to sell.
Are you still paying that off?
I'm well and truly still paying that off. It's horrible. And I never think about it because it makes me feel ill.
Okay, well, let's talk to Zach then to stop you thinking about
it. Yes, thank you. Don't ever bring that up.
I'm sorry. Zach, well, you did. But anyway, Zach from Canungra. Morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
You know what we're talking about here, mate? Stuff you're still paying for and it doesn't actually exist.
Yeah. It's all too well. All too well, I'm afraid.
What?
What did you get?
Basically, I took out a loan to buy a car, and 2 weeks later, uninsured, crashed it doing 110 on the highway.
What sort of car?
Myself, it was a TX5 turbo Ford.
And how much was it worth?
I took out about a $5,000 loan to buy it.
Yeah.
Then when I crashed it, I was like, you know what, I can fix it. Took out another $2,000 on the loan. So we're looking at $7,000.
Okay.
And then
doubled down.
Sold the car to the wreckers for $500.
Oh,
so I couldn't fix it, mate.
Couldn't fix it, unfortunately.
Zachy, how long did it take you to pay that off? 2 years?
I'm actually still paying it off now. All this only happened probably like 3 or 4 months ago.
Oh, buddy. That's shocking.
Yeah.
Have you got a car? Have you got another car?
Yeah, so I've ended up buying. I always had a second car, which was good.
Took out another loan. That's the spirit, Zachy.
actually put my mind into it. Saved up a bit of money and just bought like a little daily to run around in.
Okay. Have you got a sports betting account on your phone?
No.
Good. Let's keep it that way, mate.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Try not to gamble.
No.
Yeah. No, good. That's
good. Big breakfast. Brisbane's Triple M.
Mother's Day, my sons who were playing up at Budrum, two of the eldest ones, had to leave by 7 a.m., got up at 6:30, got the flowers, got the prezzies, got the cards.
Did it all before they went to soccer.
I was very impressed by that.
You didn't go and watch them play, did you?
No, I did not, because I'd already done Toowoomba the day before, I figured they could go and do that. And my youngest was playing at Lions, so I went and watched him instead. So, yeah, Mother's Day was awesome, but ran Mount Coot yesterday morning, and I saw this older couple. Every time they passed a woman of a certain age, they'd say, Happy Mother's Day.
That's what I was doing yesterday.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the looks on younger women's faces, so I started to do it too. The amount of 20-ish ones who'd forgotten to ring their mums. So if they were looking terrible, I'd go, ring your mother, keep running.
Oh, you weren't wishing the Mother's Day.
I was wishing everyone. I was saying Happy Mother's Day, and then there were these young ones just going, and I'm like, ring your mother, and then I'd kept running.
What time do you think you should ring your mother?
As soon as is applicable. If she gets up at 7, ring her at 7:30.
I was down in Sydney for the Sydney Comedy Festival. My wife and Bub were at home, and my wife thought I'd forgotten.
Oh, so what did you do?
I spoke to her yesterday morning, and I said, how's your first Mother's Day going? And she's like, yeah, it's pretty good. Charlie seems to have forgotten to get me anything. I said, I spoke to him. We're going to take you for a nice dinner as soon as I'm back in town. And she was a bit let down, and then 20 minutes later, knock at the door, flowers, wine, chocolates.
Oh, yeah, you good thing.
From Charlie.
Well done. Did
I've
she
got
ring
to thank you,
tears?
Robin Bailey.
I know, I did give you a really hard time on Friday. I'm like, what have you done, Nick? Get on to it now.
I was like, nothing. Who cares? You're like, wrong answer.
Okay, so just tell me, did she appreciate it?
Loved it.
There you go.
Got all teary and everything.
Oh, is that not? I got a mate of mine. Now, he lives in Sydney these days, but he came from Adelaide, Menindee, some little town in Adelaide.
Right.
Near Adelaide, anyone know it?
Anyway.
Out in the bush from Adelaide. He's rung that town because his mum and dad still live there. He's rung that town. They've got one florist, rang her and said, he was thinking Sydney prices. I want to buy a bunch of flowers. She said, oh, how much? He said, I'll spend 60. She said, 60? Do you know what that'll, because he was thinking rip-off Sydney florist. Do you know what $60 will buy? You go, well, usually not very much. Apparently it arrived. It was the size of a table, the number of flowers. small country town florist, you get very good value.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We should be getting all our flowers from.
How did you go?
How did I go? Well, yes. You know what I got. I got that Instagram thing.
Okay, we were playing surprises on the day, nothing.
Yes, Harry did furniture.
What do you mean he did furniture?
He bought some furniture and painted it her favourite colour, which is white. Hillary, outfit, myself. Like, remember there was an issue 2 years ago when we bought her a doormat.
Oh, gosh, yes, the doormat
from the
incident.
Hardware store.
Has she finally let that go?
Yeah, the mate was able to overcome the doormat year. So we're all good.
See, the point of all this, fellas, have you realised? Just be considerate.
Just do something.
Just do something that says, I love you and
Nick,
we're not expecting it.
Don't say, and this is before the doormat incident. Don't say she's not my mother, okay? Don't ever think that your wife, you need to be leading
Marto's
the charge.
Marto's been doing that for a number of years and finally realised that that doesn't work.
Between that and Valentine's Day, all you got to do is a little bit of effort and it pays off.
Mate, if you can change,
anyone can.
So true.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I lied to you. I told you you were going to take a quiz, but in reality, it's another person that's already taken the quiz, okay?
Righto.
Are you ready? Just see what you would have answered in this situation. Okay, take it away, young lady.
All right, you have two choices. A, you can spend the rest of your life with your wife, or B.
That's so good.
What was the other option?
He didn't care what it was.
But I want to know now.
Now you're spoiling it. It was just, that's just funny.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.